Hey, Caitlin.
Hi, Rebecca.
I'm so excited to see you for a couple seconds before there's going to be more of us in this chat.
I know. So, Rebecca, how about you tell all of our listeners what we are doing today?
Today, we have the absolute joy of speaking with Stephanie Shea, the author of Avalanche, and Lucy Bexley, the author of Flying First, both of which are short story, WLW lesfic novels, novelettes. And they're offering their time to us, and we just kind of get to sit down and unpack writing with them and what happens when you write a more compressed story and whatever else they're going to be willing to share with us. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk to them both. They're both the works that we're focusing on are they're self-published, and I just love getting to hear from real authors, their insight, their inspiration, and just sort of anything that they're willing to share with those of us who love WLW romance. So, let's just get to it. Let's get to this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm Lucy Bexley. I write women-loving women romance, and I live in Boston with my wife, dog, and our two cats. It's a real queer menagerie. When I'm not writing or working, I spend a lot of time on Twitter telling dad jokes and stories about my wife. My friend Lily called it a sitcom, and I think that's a pretty good summation of my life on Twitter.
My name is Stephanie Shea. I am also a writer of Women Love Women romance. I am a bit of a self-proclaimed introvert, I guess you could say. I spend most of my days in corporate daydreaming of becoming a full-time novelist. My obsession with characterization and plot lines date back to when I was about 17, making notes in my journal instead of paying attention in calculus. And some of my favorite things to do include binging TV shows and snacks, lots and lots of snacks.
So I would love if each of you could give like your elevator pitch for your most recent publications.
The first thing I published, and the only thing I've published so far, is a short, and it's called Flying First. And it is a workplace romance between Chloe and her boss, Monroe. And they're sort of going on this trip, and then they get waylaid, and then things happen.
I've only had two so far. The latest one is Avalanche, and it's kind of a friends to lovers romance, but these friends haven't seen each other in 5 years, and one is sort of married, but her marriage has gotten to a place where she's comfortable exploring feelings that she's possibly had for a while. And well, it's kind of a reconnection and a love story. One's a model and one's a photographer, so that's how they wind up working together.
Ooh.
I love describing someone as sort of married.
I have to because, well, I kind of considered, is this a one of those stories where cheating is gonna be a thing? But
No.
no. So that's why I have to describe it as kind of marriage, because everything is pretty out in the open.
So we're talking to the two of you because you both write or have written shorter narratives. What was one of the benefits you found in composing a story that had a shorter length versus maybe also something that was harder for you since you had a limited space?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think one of the benefits is that it's just faster to write. I'm working on my first novel now, and it's just like taking me forever. And so I think I had like that quick rush of like writing the short and sort of getting it out there. And now I'm trying to write something longer, and it's just like a lot more to juggle and a lot more to sort of edit and rework. But I think the hardest thing about the short that I wrote, at least, was just trying to get like sort of the full romance arc into like a 10K story.
I wrote novels before I wrote short stories, so it's kind of hard going from 90,000 words to 10,000 words, especially because I have a little bit of an obsession with characterization and stuff. So it's hard to show the characters in 10,000 words. I would say that was the hardest part for me.
I have a question because it sounds like both of you are pretty you've published a how do we say it in the museum, an intimate amount of things, like a small amount of things. And I wanted to hear a little bit about what sort of publication and publishing was like for the both of you.
So I self-published, and I'd never self-published anything before. So the entire thing was really like a learning experience, down to like formatting, editing the story, making my own cover, and just sort of like figuring out how to get stuff on Amazon and then promote it. Yeah, I think I had no idea what I was doing at any point. So I would say it was just like a total learning experience. I think I would do things a lot differently. I probably will do things differently when I publish my novel, just in terms of like promoting ahead of time, doing a pre-order and things like that. But definitely learned a lot.
Like Lucy, I don't have much of a clue what I'm doing with this whole indie publishing thing. I actually signed a contract with 9 Star Press. So the indie publishing was sort of a way to kind of get myself out there before my novel is published. So before February, I didn't even have Twitter. So it's still a learning experience. And publishing on Amazon and stuff, just kind of figuring it out as I go. I learn a lot from Lucy, actually. And there are some other really wonderful people in the Twitterverse that has helped me.
It's scary that you're learning things from me, Steph, because I have no idea what I'm doing.
You know more than you think.
It gives me such anxiety to like look at the charts or look at sales that I just never do it. So the only way I ever know if my book like is doing well is if someone like sends me a screenshot of it. I also don't read any reviews.
How do you avoid that? And I say that sincerely, since it's like within, I understand avoiding Goodreads. You have to seek out Goodreads if you want to seek out Goodreads. But how do you avoid that with your Amazon platform being that, I know Amazon likes to email their creators and do the star ratings and the emails and things like that. So there's all this pressure all the time just on the branding marketing component.
Yeah, so part of my secret is that I don't read email. And I think that's very helpful. It's true. You can ask people who like email me. I'm terrible at email.
I'm just so jealous right now.
I'm amazed that you can like disconnect from the end. Teach me.
Well, I just don't do it. Like, I obviously I'm on Twitter all the time. I love Twitter. I see the reviews people like at me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the only ones I see. And those are generally really nice. But yeah, in terms of like email, I really don't check it unless I'm like expecting something, and then I'll just search for that thing. And I don't go on Amazon. I don't know. And I don't go on Goodreads, not ever.
So do you know if Charles gave you a 1 star?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't think I'm big enough for that. I think you've got to hit like a certain point for him to hate you. And I don't think I'm there yet.
Steph, 2 questions. 1, do you know if Charles has given you the dreaded 1 star WLW rating? And 2, do you read your own reviews?
Charles has not given me the 1 star. I do. I have a problem. I will read my reviews at 3 o'clock in the morning and then message my girlfriend like, babe, I'm gonna cry. But no, I'm getting like better at it. Generally, my reviews haven't been that bad.
I was gonna say, you just got an amazing write-up from the Lesbian Review recently, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, that was, and I actually, the one thing that they said they didn't, that could be better, I agree.
So it felt constructive criticism instead
of... Yeah, reviews are tough, but they're a part of it, right?
We ask this of really anyone we encounter ever, but I would love to hear from you both, what got you into this world? What was your initial inspiration for writing lesfic or WLW romance? And second part of the question is, like, what is the first book or writing of this genre that you remember reading? that sort of sparked that interest in it?
So I had been thinking about starting to write Women Loving Women fiction. And then Erica Lee actually ran this short story contest for one of her books. And I wrote my story in like 10 days to submit it to that contest. So that's why I started. Well, I was thinking about starting to write, but that was like actually made me write, because I had sort of been working on a novel that I was really struggling with. And then I sort of switched gears and wrote that. The first book I read, I don't want to say it just because I don't think anyone should read it. Like, I think it was like, it had like a lot of problems. And so I don't want to like, I don't want it to seem like I'm recommending it. The first book I read and like really liked, like that struck me as like really good writing, was Right Here, Right Now by Georgia Beers. That is also a sexy workplace sort of adjacent romance.
I'm pretty new to reading lesbian, I think, especially the Georgia Beers and these authors that I hear about a lot, because I actually started reading Women Loving Women fiction from fanfic.
Right there,
I read a lot of fanfic, and that's how I got into it. But writing it, I wasn't always writing lesbic or WLW. I started writing boy-girl stories when I was in high school. And then, of course, I started to get into my queer awakening, and I'm just like, okay, I want to write about girls too. So I started to do that.
Actually started writing fanfic also, like 3 or 4 years ago, and then forgot about it for a while. So yeah, reading and writing fanfic, definitely.
Yeah.
Can I ask what your fanfic was?
Yeah, it was so embarrassing. It was The Hundred and Rizzoli and Isle, sort of like a mashup.
Steph, what about you? I would love to know like what fandom you were invested in.
Ah, you're gonna make me say it.
Do we have your permission to ask?
We don't have to.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, I got very into Fifth Harmony. I was one of those girls who was very obsessed with Lauren Horeggi. And, well, there was a lot of fanfic. Not that I thought that something was actually going on there, I don't know. But there was a lot of fanfic, and there are some really, really good fanfiction. So I read too many.
I feel that. I get the fanfic that's about people that are real. You know that these people are real humans, but they have these created images that they use to push their music and to push their products. And there's something really interesting about that dynamic when it enters into fanfic. So I get that. I get that 100%.
All my fanfic I read on Wattpad.
Yes. I remember Wattpad.
So the one thing I know really deeply about the fanfiction world is how deeply entrenched the community is with each other, how very much people find their chosen people through fanfiction. I feel that seems to manifest just as much in the WLW and lesfic world. There are communities and friendships and bonds that start to happen, and I might be naive and new to this, but do either of you have feelings about the community that is this world?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I love the lesbian community, especially on Twitter. Like, that's really the only way I interact with it. But I think I've met like some really good friends through it. And I think one of the things I noticed is how nice all of the writers are, and everyone seems to like really support each other. So you'll see like when someone has a book come out, you'll notice everyone sort of seems to be like reading it and helping to promote it. And that's not something I see in other like writing spaces on Twitter. Like you do see, I think like in the writing community at large, you'll see sort of retweets and sort of like writer's lift type of engagements. But in the lesbian community, people are friends. You know, we know each other, we talk to each other, we beta read for each other. I just think it's like a very unique and supportive space that you're that you don't see everywhere on Twitter.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything Lucy just said. Like I said, before February, I didn't even have Twitter. And I think it's been really easy so far, not in terms of the book stuff necessarily, but the people are really kind. And even the ones that are like really Twitter famous or writers that everyone seemed to know, they seem to be just as cool with everyone else. Everyone's retweeting, everyone's making comments. If someone has a bad day, you're sure to get like a hug with a gift or something from random strangers. Yeah, I think it's a really beautiful.
So I joined Twitter in November of last year, and at some point I like put out this call for people to do Nano with me. And Nano is National Novel Writing Month. I think it was like a camp Nano. It wasn't like it wasn't the November one. And like I had a bunch of people who are like, you know, WLW writers or just, you know, appreciate it, volunteer to sort of like do this with me and be in a writing group with me. And then from that, we sort of sparked like this like DM chat group, which has become like this really like supportive writing space where I actually get like a lot of really good advice, and I've really found community through that. And that's been really lovely.
Both of you have alluded to forthcoming projects, and I wanted to know if each of you would just share a little what you can, like what can we expect? What can we look forward to as readers of your work?
So I'm working on a novel right now. I'm actually on my second draft, which is like a complete rewrite, which is sort of devastating to have to do, but I also think it's like really necessary. And that actually, this is something that I feel like we don't really hear writers talk about that much, is like when you write something and then you go back through it and you're like, no, like, this is not very good, and I'm going to like redo this. That's where I'm at right now with my novel. And it is about an audiobook narrator who's sort of an introvert and very reclusive, but she takes this job that takes her to New York, and so she's sort of working with this author, and then they sort of spark a relationship. And one thing that I'm doing in this book is one of my main characters is sober, and I myself am sober, and so this was something that I feel like we don't see that much in romance novels. I think sometimes we actually see, I would say maybe the opposite, where I think like some characters' drinking habits like make me a little concerned for those characters. But anyways, I really want to write a sober character. So that's something I'm pretty excited about. And then I'm also co-writing a vampire novella with Bryce Oakley. And we just started exchanging like the early chapters this week. So that's been really exciting and fun to do also.
And a little birdie told me you were writing the vampire chapters.
I am, of course, writing the vampire chapters. Bryce is so nice, and I am not. One of the things that we're trying to do with the vampire novella is to write a vampire character who really leans into being evil and sort of liking the hunt and that part of being a vampire. I think, you know, what I see, I love vampire novels. But I think what I see a lot is vampires who feel like very bad about being vampires and like wishing that they could change themselves and not be a vampire. And I think there's like a little bit of an allegory there for like when you're queer, I think, and like feeling a lot of shame and not wanting to be that way. Not that queer people are vampires, but like you understand what I'm saying, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And, so I really wanted to write, you know, a vampire who's like happy about it and really, really leans into it.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
Steph, you mentioned previously you were just signed with Nine Star. Can you talk about that at all? And what you're doing? Okay, I don't want to put you, like, if you can't discuss it or don't want to.
No, it should be released this year. Mm-hmm. It originally was for next month, but because of COVID, the release date got pushed back. But it's a full-length novel. And what you can, I guess, expect from my writing almost always is a lot of brooding and a lot of romance and a lot of, I don't know, some sexy time. I'm working on a spin-off, sort of that story that features three of the secondary characters, because, well, there's a call for a holiday story, and I want to see how I do with something that's not as broody, something more happy. So you might see two stories by the end of the year.
I thoroughly appreciate all three of you participating in this. I selfishly get to grab Caitlin's attention a few times a month, but being able to talk to both of you feels like a really wonderful treat. And I, in a few short days, get to discuss Avalanche and Flying First with Caitlin, and we get to unpack it some. So I hope it doesn't put you out, Lucy, as you don't like reviews. I promise there's no star ratings in this. And Steph, I cannot wait to talk about what goes down in LA. Like, yes, as soon as Caitlin's ready, we're talking about Avalanche. So I just want to say thank you to both of you deep down, and thanks for talking with us. And I really hope people find your book. So I should, instead of me talking about where can people find your book, how do they get your words?
Yeah, so my story is available on Amazon. You can just search for Lucy Bexley, or if you find me on Twitter, it's at Bexley_Lucy. I do have a link in my Twitter bio as well. And if you do find me on Twitter, please say hello to me there, because I love making new friends on Twitter.
You can also find my stories on Amazon. And I am on Twitter at Steph_Shay27. On Instagram as Stephanie_Shay Writes. And that's where I'm pretty much all the time. Twitter, mostly. So.
Well, thank you all again. And, you know, anybody who's listening to this, go read their books and talk to us, if not the authors, about it, because I will geek out with you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Thank you both.
Yeah. Thank you both so much.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Caitlin, that was so much fun. I think I say that every time we talk to anybody, but that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I loved talking to Steph and to Lucy. I mean, it's just such a gift when writers are willing to open up a little bit more of their world with you. And I'm really excited that you and I are going to be discussing their two novellas/short story WLW fix for our upcoming episode, so everyone can get excited about that.
Yeah, I'm super excited that you get to experience one of these. So it's brand new to you. You haven't read one of these yet.
I haven't read one of these yet. If anyone wants more information about either of the authors that we talked to today, or they want to get any insight on the podcast, go to our link tree. It's in all of our bios on Twitter at @ATTTpod, or on Instagram at a tip of the tongue. I was just about to say same sex in the city.
You can promote your own stuff. That's fine. We're at a tip of the tongue on Instagram. Caitlin's at same sex in the city. My friend, I so thoroughly appreciate you. Like, this is fun for me, but it's a joy because I do it with you, and I can't wait to do more of it.
Right back at you, friend.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And I will see you soon, and yeah. I hope everyone enjoys listening to more.
Yeah. Go check them out, y'all. All their info's in the bio. All right. Later.